So, Alan, can you come up here? Alan is a gift from God to all of us and to the body of Christ. When a fivefold minister is set in place, it's not for a local house, it's for the body of Christ, wherever they are called and wherever their gift is welcome. So we're setting in a gift to the body of Christ this evening. And because they are a gift to us, we like to give gifts to the gift. So Ed, if you could. Ed Jelliff, many of the guys here know, is the coordinator of Men's Link. He's a longtime friend of the Fest family, he and Cheryl. Men's Link is where we go in September to have a good time and learn about being men in the Lord. Many of you have been. And he's a pastor, and he's going to present a gift for someone who has a heart for the restoration of men. I hope you survive, Alan.
Forty-one years ago, this fall, Al and I met. He was 13 and I was 18. And brother, we're in our 50s now. We've hunted together. We've lived life together. And I wanted to give you this axe. I am an axe junkie. I collect axes. I found this axe in a yard sale that was so rusted you couldn't tell its maker's mark. And I think that's what God does with us, right? He finds us in the yard sale, and we're so jacked up with rust, but he begins to clean us so he can see that we are created in his image. When I cleaned this axe and found its maker's mark, it's from the Man Axe Company in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. So I choose this axe for several reasons. One, because the Man Axe Company has ties in New York State and Pennsylvania. The Man Axe Company was run by brothers, which I consider you my brother. Not only in Christ, my brother. It's called the Knot Clipper. The Knot Clipper axe is an axe that is the top of the line. Even strong enough to cut through the knots of the tree. This axe is somewhere between 90 and 100 years old. It's as strong as the day it come off the forge. It carries two different bevels. One for more of a universal use, and one for really keeping sharp so you can fall a tree. And so, strong, the beautiful part again about a double bit axe is you got two axes on one handle. Another thing about an axe, it's part of the harvest, right? Axe is used for harvest. And so, like you and I in the Peninsula Woods there, the 8-point, remember? I won't go into that whole story, but it was just Al and I. He filled his tag, I didn't, but so I want you to be part of the harvest. Jesus said the harvest field is white, it's ready. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send harvesters into the harvest field. So I want us to go. I want us to go into the harvest field. I want to speak the passion to lead lost people to Jesus into your life, even in a greater intensity than it's already there. And may this axe remind you every day that you're part of the harvest, that God is going to send you into the harvest field, that you got a brother. I'm having a picture right now that I'm going to do it with you. I want to lead men to Jesus in Rochester and in Roaring Spring. I want to be a part of that, and I want you to be a part of that. It's as good today as the day I come off the forge. Just a little bit of a reminder that it's the blood of Christ that takes us over the line. Jesus, bless Alan. And if it wasn't for Ron, his dad, and Lisa, his mom, and Cheryl, I'd be lost. But because these guys were used to reach the lost, July 18th, 1996, I was found. And I want us to find other men that need Jesus.
Thank you, Ed. I just learned something. Ed was saved on my mother's birthday. Those of you who know Alan know he is a watcher. And Casey is a shamar pastor. Shamar is a Hebrew word. It's one of the words translated as prophet, but it literally means one who watches. So Casey is going to give the gifts of a pastor who watches.
Let you finish doing that.
Alan is childproofing his acts. When I was ordained as a prophet, the church gave me a double-edged sword, and at the party afterwards, Casey's brother thought it was a toy. He found out it was very sharp.
I speak over you, Shamar. You already are. You are a watcher, not only a watchman on the wall guarding your own family, but you guard this family. And you guard the men in this church, and you guard the men elsewhere where God has sent you. So the first mantle is green because green is life. And that's what you're going to bring as a shamar pastor. It's like the next level up. Okay? So the first one is green. The next one, the Lord showed me you walking over the land. And this is a green and aqua. Because I know you hunt, but you're going to be redeeming the land as well. So where the Lord has you put your steps, you are going to bring Holy Spirit healing. He's going to show you exactly what to pray for. And there will be healing in the land like there hasn't been. Because he sends you to places that probably a lot of us never see. So we call you Shamar. And with all the blessings, and we say, let the Holy Spirit be your protection as he speaks to you. The giants are bigger. bigger is he in you, right? Amen. Shamar.
We are in a season where the Lord is starting to bring key gifts called women back into the place where he created them to be as leaders. One of my favorite leaders is Apostle Apostolic Teacher Lisa Fess, and she's going to present the gift of an apostolic mother to her son.
I've known you longer than anyone else in this room. As we've been getting ready for this, I've been kind of going back over your faith journey. I was sharing some of it with Ed the other day. And one of the first things that came to mind was you were just thinking first or second grade, and you were witnessing to kids at school. And as a result of that, every day on the way home from school, you were beat up. And one kid would hold you and another would punch you and say, "We'll stop if you deny Christ." And you said no. And you never told your dad or me that that happened. And every day you took a beating for the cause of Christ at 6 or 7 years old. And then a neighbor came and said, "What have you taught your son that he would be so brave to be beat up every day?" And then a few years later, you were in the front yard and you were singing. Dad was grilling dinner, but it was after dark because it was the summer and he had just gotten home from work. And all of a sudden, you started weeping. And your dad called me out and said, "There's something going on with Alan." And you were begging God to forgive you and telling him how much you loved him. And when you came in, you told us that you'd been worshiping and the sky opened up and you saw the face of God. And you said, "Mommy, he was so beautiful. He was so beautiful." And then I realized I needed to tell him how sorry I was for every bad thing I had done. And so you were repenting in the front yard. And you told the Lord, "I want to go with you. I want to go with you." And he reported that you started to leave the ground. And the Lord said, "Not yet. Because I've got things for you to do." And then there was that day almost 10 years ago when you witnessed your dad leave this earth. And the Lord had told us that if you and Mason were present, that his anointing would fall on you. And it turned out that you and Mason and I were the ones that were present when your dad left this earth. And from that day, well, you're wearing one of his shirts tonight, but from that day, you have been more and more and more like your dad for the last 10 years that it's almost frightening sometimes. Your humor and your passion and your heart for the lost and for men and for fatherless children in particular, which was the passion of your dad, regardless of how old those children were. And some here were the benefit of that. And then there was the COVID thing, when you were dying, and the Lord Jesus appeared to you in your hospital room, and you had a chat. And he asked you a question. "Are you really mine?" And you knew what he was asking was not, "Were you saved?" But, "Can I do whatever I want to with you?" And your answer was yes. And this is part of the fruit of that yes. That the Lord can do whatever he wants to with you and in your life. And you know, we are a family of storytellers. Always have been. And your dad used to carry a little notebook around with him in his pocket, full of little things, anecdotes. And this is a little too big to put in your pocket. But I'm charging you to keep the chronicles. Write the stories. Tell the tales. Not just for you, but for the generations that are here and the generations to come. Be the keeper of the chronicles. I am so proud of you, son. And I know your dad is so proud of you. So I bless you. I bless you as my biological son. And I pray that everything that God has written in your book from before the beginning of time will come to pass. That every act and work that he is destined for you to do, that your yes would continue until you leave this earth. And as an apostolic mom, I release you into all that God has called you to do as well. And I bless you in it. I get to kiss him.
Several people tonight have touched on it, but Pastor Ron and Pastor Valerie are going to honor Alan with a gift from the perspective of a couple's love, because when you're in ministry, everyone's in ministry.
I'm going to be a little bit lighter because majority of Alan and I's conversations are tied around me borrowing his tools to get rid of squirrels that have conveniently lived in my house and they don't pay rent. Needless to say, we laugh a little bit. It's good. I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of what Miss Lisa said, because I feel like asking you a question and then just everyone hearing that answer. And the question I'm going to ask is, again, can the Lord have his way with you?
Yes.
Now, I'm taking that into consideration because we've all heard that yes, right? And I'm going to look over this way to you as well, Miss Tina, because some of you guys are aware Valerie and I are like buying a bookstore, and you know, people came up to me and said, "Ron, I had no clue that you had any interest in buying a bookstore," and I had to look them square in the face and said, "I don't." My wife is interested in a bookstore. Just like I'm into dancing and tutus and things like I'm it's not because of me, it's because I have daughters that dance. And so in light of this union, sometimes we get tied into things that we didn't even know what we were going to be tied into. But it's still good. It's still good. It's a wonderful adventure that we get to go on. And the verse that the Lord highlighted to me was Isaiah 43, verses 19 through 21. And it says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." Everybody say amen. Amen. "Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers and the deserts. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people of whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." And I'm just excited that even you on the side, both of you together, get to be conduits that the Lord works through to display his glory. We can't be discouraged by age or by circumstance. You know, because again, the Lord does new things, and he picks situations and circumstances to display his glory in grandiose ways. When we think that we're about done, the Lord's like, "All right, we're about to start something now." You know, it's like, "Lord, you know," and we make up all of our excuses. But at the very least, I will say, I'm excited to boldly stand beside you to do a great and wonderful work. you know, and even for you, Tina, you know, I'm always messing with you on the sidelines, you know, because I enjoy every time we have a little bit of conversation and we just kind of talk and just, honestly, it's always just a little bit of eye contact, but the Lord is doing great things in and through you. And you guys get to do it all together. You get to laugh together, smile together, cry together, rejoice together, celebrate together. Amen.
And so we were talking about giving gifts to a gift. But Alan's already got a really good gift. It says in Proverbs 18:22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." So we bless you, Tina, as you stand beside your husband. And in Ecclesiastes 4, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And a picture that Ron have given to Ron and I, and that I give to you too, is about like a pair of bifocal glasses, right? That the two lenses in there have different purposes, but they exist together in the same frame for a reason. And speaking as a woman who is married to a man who has a different calling and a different gift mix than me, we are privileged to do ministry together, but Ron and I are very different. I hear laughter around the room. Every personality test we take, we are exact opposites. Like the ones with the letters, our letters are exact opposites. And though sometimes I don't understand what he is doing and why he is doing and where he is going and what the purpose behind it is, and I can say confidently that he thinks the same thing about me, God has set us in the same frame and in the same union for a reason. And I know that that is true for you. And I am so thankful that as Alan steps into this fivefold ministry, as we acknowledge what is already true in his life, that that Ecclesiastes 4 passage is true, that when he falls, he is not alone because you are there beside him to pick him up. That when he lies down, he is not cold because you are there beside him, keeping him warm. And so we bless you both in this new season and in this new time. And Tina, I honor you because I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice to have a husband who's a pastor, because I am new to pastoral things. Ron has been a pastor since the day I met him when I was 14. He has done this pouring out thing for a long time. I can't send him, well, I do send him into Walmart alone, because if I stay in the car, he's in there for an hour and a half ministering to people. So I stay home and let him grocery shop alone. And so I get it. And so I did it once and never again. And so I just bless you with strength. As your husband pours out, I bless you with strength, Tina. And so we give you this gift to honor your union and to go forth and be together. Do you want to pray?
Yes. I wish she was lying. Tina, Alan, there will not be another dull moment. I promise you, you will not have a dull moment. But it'll be glorious. Jesus, we thank you that we get to celebrate unions, oh God. Lord, you have brought them together, O Lord, for very unique and beautiful reasons and purposes. And Lord, we just say, continue to get great glory out of this family. Lord, we thank you that mantles fall from great men and fall on men that you've called into greatness as well. So, Lord, we celebrate this moment. We celebrate this family. We celebrate the fact that as a family, they are already equipped with all the tools necessary to weather any storm. Lord, be glorified in our brother. Amen.
So do I have to keep a special eye on him in Honduras, not let him go to the Walmart?
Yeah.
So I've known Alan since he was a teenager, wrestling with teenagers. I've known him in the past couple decades as an elder and a friend. And he's wrestled with some level of demons, and he's gained some discernment. Than, if you could come up here. And so he was at this level of discernment where he caught little demonic creatures. This may have been your squirrel at your house, Ron.
Yes.
But now as he's moving into a fivefold, there are bigger demons that he's going to need discernment for. Those of you who know Alan know he knows how to use these things. So Alan does have that gift of discernment, and it's going to go to a new level starting tonight when all of the fivefold lays their hands on him. He may find a practical use for these, if I know him. So if you are a fivefold minister and you can stand for about 5 minutes, I'd like you to come up here and lay hands on Alan as we give him a charge for being a pastor. You don't have to be in this house other than you're in the house tonight if you're a fivefold minister. We're recognizing a gift to the body of Christ. Ed and Cheryl, if you want to come up. Alan, since we believe God has called you to be a fivefold minister of Jesus Christ, and since the body of Christ has recognized this call, and by prayer and laying on the hands of this commissioning council has separated you to the gospel of the kingdom of God, as the apostolic leader of this expression of the bride of Christ, I therefore entreat you to give earnest heed to the word of the living God, which declares, "Now as for you, Son of Man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So Alan will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you on your part warn the wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered yourself. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Yes. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. But you, Alan, be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Yes. Alan, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Alan, let no one look down on you, on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Alan, the Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. You, man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made good the confession in the presence of many witnesses. Alan, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Alan, give no cause for offense in anything, so the ministry will not be discredited. Alan, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Alan, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Alan, preach the word, not the opinions and traditions of men, not pleasing fables or sensational stories, to move the fancy or excite the emotions. You are not to exalt yourself, but in the presence of God, you are to stand before a dying world and preach the word. Let there be no levity, no trifling, no fancy interpretation. As a minister of God, you are to speak with sincerity and deep earnestness, as a voice from God expounding the Holy Scriptures. You are to bring to your heart, your hearers, those things which most concern their present and their eternal good. You are to warn them of the soon coming of Christ in great power and glory. Your message must be such as to lead men to see the importance of God attaches to his law. Alan, plainly present the truth so no transgressor who hears it will be excusable in failing to discern the importance of obedience to God's commands. Alan, be ever conscious of the fact you are a messenger of God, commissioned by him to do a work of influence which will endure throughout eternity. Your whole aim should be to bring sinners to repentance, pointing them by both precept and example to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You should speak as one conscious of the power and authority from God abiding in you. Your discourses should have earnestness, fervor, and a power of persuasion which will lead sinners to take refuge in Christ. Alan, do you accept this charge?
Yes.
Alan, today you have been solemnly dedicated to God by prayer and the laying on of hands. Consequently, you are invested with full ecclesiastical authority to not only teach the truth, but to perform the rites of baptism, marriage, and burial, and to organize churches. Your ordination is a public recognition of your divine appointment to bear to the world the glad tidings of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hence, your office is the most important to which human beings have ever been called. As you go forth on your mission of love, preaching the glorious gospel of the blessed God, you may be assured of the fact he who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and who holds the seven stars in his right hand will tenderly care for you. If you are faithful to the end in the work to which you have been now received divine appointment, you will hear at the last from his lips the words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You have today taken upon yourself the solemn vow of consecration to the sacred service of your Master, while God and holy angels have been summoned as witnesses to the dedication of body, soul, and spirit to this holy service. I charge you, therefore, to ever keep in absolute purity this consecrated vessel, which God would use in his high and holy service, so when your life work is ended, you may be able to say, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Alan, we ordain and commission and release you to the body of Christ this day as a pastor.
Amen.
Pastor Alan Fess. Well,
my son. I call you to be my representative, to set things in order in your Jerusalem here, in New York State, your Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Represent me, says God. Set in order the hearts of men, women, and children. Set in order my churches, my people. Represent me. I will cover your back. I will protect you. I will protect your family here. But be my man in Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth, God says.
As we were up here, the Lord gave me the very last verse of Psalm 23, that the goodness and mercy of the Lord will pursue you every day of your life. And the key word is pursue. Every day, God will pursue you with his love and with his mercy.
As I've been praying for you this week, I know Don would be so proud of you.
Amen. Yeah, he would.
And the Lord gave me the scripture for you. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instructions of wise behavior, righteous, just, to give prudence and naive for the youth knowledge and discerning. In Proverbs, you have done that your whole life. That's why God has called you here today for this purpose.
Sure.
Yeah, you got this. Al, I've known you for a long time. Do you remember our farm up north? And behind the farm was a plot of land that we called the burlot. And in that burlot was thistles and apple thorn trees and wait-a-minute bushes and all kinds of stuff that there was only one path through it, and that path was just to get to another fertile piece of soil. And that land was not good for anything. It was not useful for grazing of cattle or for planting crops or anything. But what I see is that just as to get that piece of land fertile, you had to chop at the roots of all of that stuff and then dig up that land. I see you chopping at the roots of all of that unfertile soil in people's lives so that God can plant his crops, making their soil fertile.
Very brief. There's no land. There's no people group that has a posted sign on. I don't know if you heard what I said. There's no land. There are no people that have a posted sign on it. And I know you know what that means.
For those of you who aren't hunters, that means Alan has free rein wherever he wants to go.
I'm good.
So I want to just pray to close us out, and I want to welcome you. Those of you who are in the house, there is a full meal in the fellowship hall. So I thank, first of all, James Adele for blessing us with his culinary skills. Please stay, fellowship with Alan, enjoy a meal. Father, we thank you for what you are doing to expand the ability to train your sons and daughters in the body of Christ. We thank you for bringing Alan to this point in history where he can be shifting the history of many lives from this day forward. And Lord, we thank you for the food that is next door. We ask you to bless it. We ask you to multiply it, and I thank you for Winnie's smile for Grandpa, in Jesus' name. Before you all disappear, if you are part of this family, I want you to hear this. You can